It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the program. No big words to impress, but if we use a big word, well, we'll be sure to explain why we're using it. Sometimes big words, what you need to clobber some of these big things we deal with in the world of finance. Not a big thing in the world of finance, but you know, I wanted to share this with Scott. We talk about not talking about which razor blades to buy.
Yeah.
And so I gave Scott a copy of this magazine, but there was an excellent article in the FloridianView.com magazine talking about the straight razor. And so I thought you would appreciate this. It's some good, sound advice first thing in the morning.
Yeah. It still makes me a little nervous.
Well, here's what makes you nervous. Is, you know, we joke around about which razor blades to buy because there are folks that actually spend time in a non-joking manner actually telling you which razor blades to buy as a part of a financial advice, which I think is funny. They do talk about in this article the degree to which you're supposed to hold the razor when you apply it to your skin.
It's a detailed article.
So would you like to take a guess at what kind of angle you're supposed to have?
I will say 38 degrees.
Pretty darn close, Scott Connor. 30 degree angle.
All right.
And to get the proper closeness, like some of our clients we've seen, they're nice, tight, close shaves.
Yes.
For the maximum smoothness, you need three passes.
Really? That sounds like
three times,
that
man.
That sounds so complicated.
You better be like a jarhead in the military with this tough skin, because I would be screaming.
Yeah, that sounds complicated.
One pass and I'm in trouble. But it says the first one is with the grain, second one's diagonal, and the third one, you know it's coming, against the grain.
Yeah, forget that.
All right. Well, enough about that. Let's get on with it and not be against the grain with
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
And before I let you talk, Scott, I have the answer to your question.
Oh, good. Which one?
The question that we had about why, what was his name? Greg Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We
were talking when he was the guy that came out and basically resigned in
New York Times.
Yeah, in the public square. And everybody was wondering why in the world would he do that? Well, there is going to be at least $1 million book deal.
Yeah, he's in a bidding war.
He's in a bidding war. Who wants it?
Good
and
for him.
Right now, it's between, I think, Bank of America and Morgan Stanley to buy it.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's a joke. No, but it's somebody really thinks there's a go of this. And you know what? I got to tell you, if it was a well-written book, I might actually buy it and read it, or at least check it out from the library.
Yeah, but at his level at Goldman, he was making at least $1 million a year anyway.
Well, maybe there's a lot more to the story, but we'll find out if he writes the book. All right. I'll stop talking and let you tell your story.
Well, Monday's market was a good market. You know, the previous week was the worst week of the year, and even it wasn't that bad. The S&P was down
half
150,
a percent, right?
Yeah, something like that. The Dow was down 1.2%. No big deal. But Monday's market rebounded nicely with the Dow up 162 points.
So that's all of last week. And all of the week's losses in one day.
Yeah, and a little bit more than that. S&P up 19 points, very strong for the S&P. NASDAQ up 54 points. Oil up a little bit to close at 107 on West Texas. Gold up $30. We'll talk about that in a second. And tens pretty stable at 2.25.
Okay.
It's okay.
Still stable.
Yeah, it's still stable. Big news on the market for Monday's market. Chairman Bernanke said the U.S. economy needs to grow more quickly if it is to produce enough jobs to bring down the unemployment rate any further.
He's a sharp guy. I think people have different opinions about him, but I don't think that really took a law degree or a finance degree to have that answer.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd one. And then he said that he thinks that mortgages being so far underwater are hampering job mobility.
Well, you were just talking about how you know people that have gotten opportunities to move for a good job.
Yep.
And then the company says, "Oh, by the way, I got one more question, not related to your qualifications for the job, but hey, can you move with your house?"
Yeah.
And some people, well, a lot of people today can't.
Yeah, they can't. And it used to be, it wasn't that long ago, that if you had a headhunter involved, they would not only would the company
for
pay for you to move, but they would also guarantee to buy your house after a certain period if it hadn't sold. And I mean, there was all kinds of stuff. All that stuff is gone.
Yeah, because there was a ready market for it. It wasn't much of a risk for the company.
Right.
And if they need to mark it down a little further, and some of these companies have big real estate firms that would handle all that stuff for them. But that's, man, don't you, what was that? That was 90s, right? When that was really popular?
No, that was really before just 2007. I knew a guy that went from Orlando to Houston for TIAA Craft, and he had the whole ball of wax.
All right. Well, nobody gave me the ball of wax. I was just wondering where it went.
I'm still looking for the ball of wax.
Well, we'll get you as much wax as you can stand right here.
All right. But the big news was that Chairman Bernanke sort of alluded just lightly to the idea that there is a decent possibility of QE3, and that's what got markets shooting up, the dollar shooting down, and gold shooting up.
Okay. The dollar fell, and the reason why dollar fell is because there's going to be more dollars potentially in the system.
More supply.
QE3 means quantitative easing, which means that they will ease us, give us more quantity
of dollars. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. And I have a bunch of other interesting things to tell you about that happened on Monday's market.
Before you do, that's good stuff, Scott, and I want to hear every bit of it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right, we're back. And Scott, you had more for us. I had to contain you there before the break.
Yeah, I know. I was getting ahead of myself. A couple of other interesting economic stories from Monday's market. Pending home sales unexpectedly declined 0.5%.
Yeah, I'm rifling through my papers. I had that article and I was going to look at it. Yeah, the volume was down a little bit, but the price went up. Depending on what period of time you look at it, it's a pretty significant increase in the pricing. Compared to last February, new home sales were up 11.5%, but the pricing was up 6%, which is pretty solid. Median price of a new home rose to $233,000. Now that's median. That's new homes, not used homes.
Well, you're referring to new homes. There was a pending home sales number today. Now, in the past six business days, we've had almost 9 housing. So they are overlapping a lot, and they're coming from all different kinds of sources. They're coming from the Commerce Department, from the National Association of Realtors. And on Tuesday's market, we really get an interesting one on pricing from the S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index. Also, Tuesday's market brings us consumer confidence number, which is another one of those numbers that we get from 8 or 10 different sources, it seems like. And also earnings from Lennar and Walgreens on Tuesday morning. Lennar should be interesting. You know, they're a big home builder. KB Homes announced earnings last week, and they were not good.
Really?
Yes. So we'll see if Lennar is faring better.
So we've got a really mixed bag here.
Very mixed.
Some of the builders are doing better than others, but one sign points one way, one sign points another.
Yeah, which to me indicates a bottoming.
Okay.
You know, there's no real trend either way, which is good because the trend has been nothing but negative for the last 4 years.
So I guess there's the silver lining here, or the more optimistic half full analogy would be that, or perception would be that we are seeing at least some good signs, as not just bad.
Yeah, just we're getting some mixed in. That's right. In other news, The Hunger Games came out this weekend.
I know nothing about this. What is that all about?
I haven't any idea.
You're the pop culture guy. Tell me.
No, I'm not. All I can tell you is that The Hunger Games box office staggered analysts with $155 million U.S. and Canadian box office. Internationally added about another $60 million or so. $214 million weekend box office. The interesting part of the story is that the movie is brought to us by a studio called Lionsgate, which is a very, very, very small studio. The only movies they have done really of any note to this point are the Saw movies, the horror movies, the
Ew,
Saw.
Gross.
And Tyler Perry films. Also gross.
Well, I don't know why, I'm sure there's a market for this. I just, ugh, why anybody wants to see somebody get cut up?
Yeah, the company had a $45 million marketing budget and relied very heavily on internet, Facebook, YouTube, and Tumblr to get folks out, and they had lines around the block. You couldn't get in the theater, so.
They made like that much on the first day.
Yeah, the new wave of marketing is definitely here to stay, at least as far as that type of demographic goes.
Okay, well, here's the story. It's written, it's The Hunger Games. Wikipedia says that The Hunger Games is a young adult novel written by Suzanne Collins, and it's written in the voice of a 16-year-old. I'm not going to try to pronounce the character's name, but she lived in a post-apocalyptic world in the country of Panem, which is the countries of where the North American once existed. And basically, the capital, highly advanced metropolis, holds absolute power over the rest of the nation. And the Hunger Games are an annual event in which one boy and one girl, 12 to 18 from each of the 12 districts surrounding the capital, are selected to compete in a televised lottery and battle, and only one person can survive.
Oh, my.
There's your summary. So there, we're all now pop-cultured to know what's going on in the world.
Well, $155 million, and I'm confident I'll never see it. Also in social media news, this is kind of a really odd one. Facebook is embroiled in a lawsuit with a gentleman named Paul Siglia. Paul Siglia is a wood pellet salesman who contracted Mark Zuckerberg back when he was at Harvard to do a little bit of website work and stuff like that. And now he has popped up and has said, hey, man, I own 85% of Facebook. I have this contract with Mr. Zuckerberg, and he said that he was going to give me 85%. So, of course, Facebook didn't like that, and they went and did this research, and this guy apparently is... He's been printing things with ink that's only 2 years old and saying it's 8 years old. He's been hanging documents out in the sun, allegedly, you know, so they can see the clips where it was supposed to look aged. They went and subpoenaed all of Harvard's email server and determined that none of these emails that he's producing as evidence have ever existed. So it's kind of a big mess. And then my final story for you is...
I got to say this, disgusting, before you go on. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You had told me earlier that you were on a Warren Buffett hiatus.
Yeah, I really am trying to cut back to two or three packs of Warren Buffett a day.
Okay, here's one for today. Berkshire Hathaway's...
So you're going to talk about it. Okay, go ahead.
Berkshire Hathaway's NetJet names partners in China joint venture. You know, they own NetJet, which is...
I do.
Private jet timeshare, basically.
Which is ironic because it's the very same clients that some on the far left want to say, well, we're not going to give you your, you know, the whole thing about corporate jet owners.
Yeah, I don't know if you're actually a corporate jet owner or if
you're a fractional
corporate jet owner. Yeah, fractional owner, what? So that makes you fractionally evil. I don't know. Anyway, he had said in the annual letter to shareholders that they had Chinese partners lined up. Today they came out and announced who they were. Fung Investments, arm family of Victor and William Fung. Private equity fund in Beijing named Honey Capital. So off and running in China with NetJet.
So it's really
going
to go?
It's going. No question about it.
Well, the thing about the Chinese, the country and their everything over there, there's so many people. You know what? Their middle class, the projections are, and I don't remember the date, but the projections are their middle class will be bigger than our entire country.
Yeah, and let's not forget how just massive geographically it is. So if you can afford to fly privately and you have to get from place to place to do business, you know, why not?
Well, if yeah, and there, what's their airport system like? It's not obviously not as developed as ours, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine it's
so. Obviously, they're growing so quickly. Maybe the time for the infrastructure and everything to be built, if they can just bring over the fleet, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, and good diversification for NetJet, who currently gets 80% of its revenue from North America.
I think from a business standpoint, it's a great move.
Yep.
It's a great move. Okay.
So there's your Warren Buffett news.
All right, well, good. All right, Scott. Well, that's all we need I suppose, today. You're welcome to stay, but otherwise, go manage those portfolios and keep our clients very, very happy and well-diversified.
All right.
And we will come right back after a short break.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
That's like so totally disgusting. I'm like so sure. That's like barf me out. Ew, gag me with a spoon.
No, that's not a reference to Mr. Buffett and Scott's comment. We handled that before. And you know, I like the business moves that Mr. Buffett makes. I just don't like the pounding on people about taxes. Speaking of which, that's my beautiful segue. Here's why this is called the Gag Me segment today. Tax audits of millionaires nearly double. Listen to this. Now, we all want a fair society, right? Fair, equal, just, non-discriminatory. We've got all kinds of concerns out there of making sure that we're all treated fairly. Shouldn't that go across the board? Well, of course it should. But here's a case of, and this stuff flies below the radar screen, and I guess, I don't know. I don't know why it really doesn't become an issue, but the tax audit rate on millionaires doubled. Overall, when we look at all taxpayers, about 140 million, roughly, taxpayers, tax returns filed each year. Of those, 1% will get an audit. So what is that? About 1.5%, 1.5 million. So around 1.5 million audit returns, tax returns will be audited each year. But if you make more money, they will audit you more often. If you were a taxpayer with income between $1 million and $5 million, you had a 1 in 8 chance of being audited. Now, I know what you're thinking. At least some of you are going, I don't care. Too bad for them. They got money. They should be audited. Hey, well, heck, let's just take it away from them, and then they won't have to be audited. But is that the question, of course, is that what America's all about? If we're really about fairness and equality and everybody gets the same shake, is it fair that people that make more money, I don't care how much you make, should you be audited more? Is the presumption that you got it ill-gotten gains, as the phrase goes? Are you a bad guy and so you need to be audited more often? I just think it's ridiculous. You know, they talk about this. I've got a hold of a CNN Money article, and this Blake Ellis wrote it. And here's what's really interesting is they're quoting a specialist for Northeast University, Timothy Gagan. Anyway, the little quote says, there's so much controversy about Romney's low tax bracket and a lot more attention in the press about millionaires being favored. Seems like the IRS is trying to show it's paying more attention to millionaires. No, that's not what it's about. Well, first of all, there is no controversy, just a made up one in the media. The media is saying, hey, there's a controversy about Romney's taxes. No, there wasn't till you said something. You're the one creating the news, not reporting the news. And that's an old argument about the death of journalism. But anyway, the point is, it's unfair. And I think it should gag all of us. If we want fairness in our society on everything or something that matters to you, then we need to be fair to other people about other things. In fact, you know what? Speaking of that, let me shift gears for a second. I was actually going to talk about this later, but I'm going to accelerate this to now because it's about fairness. And if I don't find it, I'll just do it from memory. Okay, I'm going to have to do it from memory. That's okay. China. This is amazing. We talked about China earlier. China gets its organ donors, and they're not, I don't know if you want to call it donation. They get them from their people that are executed. Do you believe that? Okay, here it is. I found it. Okay. China's going to stop their program of taking inmate organs. Now, this has nothing to do with finances. I just found this extraordinary. It was in the back of the Wall Street Journal, and I said, holy moly. Part of China's, I guess, trying to become a mainstream, you know, they're huge, we know that, but they want to try to grow up, so to speak, and be a responsible society. But one of the things they've got to kick, a habit they've got to kick, is that 10,000 Chinese in 2010 or 2009 received organ donations or organ transplants, and most of that comes from death row inmates. And the numbers are just amazing. So I don't know what to say other than just to tell you about it. It's extraordinary. They have a heavy dependence on the prisoners and when they die, and it has a big impact on the influence of when those executions occur. So we talk about fairness. Well, talk about the challenges our country faces. We're not executing people on death row just to get their organs. And listen to this. How many people do you think were executed in 2011? You probably think it's a pretty big number because there's so many people. Just 43. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's not my point. But, you know, when we start kicking the tires hard at the country we have, we can always work on being more fair. And I think there's plenty of places for us to do that, all sorts of ways. But thank God it's not something like China's dealing with and that organ transplant issue. Anyway, Lisa's fanning me with the five-second warning. I will be right back from this next break. And I got some interesting statistics for you about gas. Stick around.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
All right, we're back. Yes, it's your 2-minute warning. And listen to this. It's interesting stuff. Okay, we are paying attention. Middle East, you have our attention. We're paying more for oil, and that translates to gas. Here's the math. Let's see. Who'd I get this from? The American Petroleum Institute, or API, has a breakdown for you on what makes up the cost of a gallon of gasoline. And I thought this was pretty interesting. Some of this was a surprise to me. We all know that there's taxes and there's costs of refinement and shipping, and you gotta pay the people for that corner lot most of the time, corner of Granada and Nova, or corner of Granada and US 1, or wherever you may be listening to this. You have a corner of such and such and such and such, which are main streets in your community. Well, all of that costs money. Now, let's take a gallon of gas, and let's say it's $4. We're almost there. $4 a gallon of gas. Where does the cost come from? 70% of it is the cost of oil. That was higher than I thought. I thought that wasn't quite that high. But $2.84 is the cost of the oil. Taxes, I was not surprised, 56 cents. I've always figured between federal and state, and depending on what state you're in, that can vary. But a lot of that is state tax. 18 cents of that is federal tax, the rest of it's state. So in Florida, most of ours is state tax. So that's 56 cents. And then another 60 cents is refining it, shipping it, and selling it. So 70% oil, 15 tax, 15 refinement. So as we see that, it's not all one thing as we watch the increase in gasoline for us. 2-minute warning. Other things in my warning section I want to talk about. How does the Federal Reserve, the low interest rate policy, affect retirees? Well, you just look around to your neighbors and friends, or maybe you are being affected. And if you are being affected by basically CDs or other interest-bearing things coming due, and now you're going to get a really low rate, you earn a very small percentage interest, then what do you do? Well, you have to reevaluate two things. You've got to reevaluate your expenses. And then number two, which is probably even more important, figure out other ways. And so CNN Money had an interesting article recently that I grabbed and I thought was very relevant. They gave actual examples. Here they are. Here's a guy, Henry Baker of Jacksonville, Florida, 75 years old. He's earning almost 5% on his savings, and that interest he was using to pay for his vacation. Well, he's now earning less than 0.25%. And then he went to a special checking account, and now he's still getting 1/3. And so he's really frustrated that interest used to pay for his vacation no more. Now, they quoted him and said, he said, you know, it's still better than any other investments I can find, including bonds. Well, I'm going to comment on each of these. Mr. Baker, I got news for you. There are better things you can do. You need to talk to an independent advisor, somebody preferably, I think, that's a financial planner, somebody that can work with all sorts of different stuff. Talk to them about alternatives, because I think it is quite candidly, it's a mistake for you and people that are in a similar situation to sit back and say, oh, well, I guess I can't do anything. And I'll tell you what else. If the newspaper says or the TV says you can't do anything, I want to tell you something. They're wrong. They don't have a monopoly on the financial strategies that exist. So it's frustrating for me, or I guess it's a concern to me, that people are kind of throwing their hands in the air and they don't know what to do because they're being told there's nothing they can do. Well, I'm here to tell you there's plenty you can do. What you can do is get a hold of somebody that is independent that can help you. I'm not saying everybody call me. I'm glad to help people. But I can tell you, talk to somebody that is got some flexibility with the different things they can offer you and give you some innovative ideas. And guess what? Build a financial plan. You can really make this work. Here's another example. A lady in Fort Lauderdale, she's almost 70. She's cutting back on her spending. Before the stock market burned her, she had almost all of her money in savings. And she said, you know, you can get a good rate. Again, it's CD. She's earning less than 0.5%. And she says, you know what? I can't spend money. I can only get by on the basics. That's good. But she goes, no luxuries. And no luxuries means I'm not spending that money. It's a perfect example of somebody who needs some planning. Here's another gentleman. He's in North Carolina. Low interest rate, says, hey, I got to put my money in stock. And see, that's really the what's wrong about this discussion that we're having in the media and in the newspapers or in the magazines. It's not one or the other. There are a lot of choices and lots of ways to deal with this low interest rate environment. Don't feel like a ping pong ball or a pinball in the machine being hit by those little, what do you call those little things that flip around, little rudders or flapper things you push with the buttons on the side. Don't feel like you're that ball. There's lots of things you can do and a step back. I could tell you story after story of people I've worked with that are experiencing this low interest rate environment, and today they are much more confident about their retirement. I've got four or five more, but I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, more to share. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Okay, we're back, and Lisa has informed me that I've used up a lot of my time today. You can tell when I get excited, ladies and gentlemen, and it's because I see people who are frustrated and just don't know what to do, and they've kind of resigned themselves, and that's sad. Nobody should ever resign. You know, do not go gentle into the night. Don't give up. You know, you ever seen that picture, that drawing? I need to get one for my office that has the stork or the whatever it is, the heron or whatever the big bird is, and the frogs, his head's in the bird's mouth, but he's got his hands around the bird's throat so he can't be swallowed. Be that frog, okay? Grab the financial world by the throat and hold on and say, I will not go down that dark hole. And look for alternatives. Now, I understand very well if you've had several difficult turns of situations in your life, you've had a loss of a loved one, you've had your financial situation be turned over, you've had things happen with real estate or bankruptcy situation, things that are not your responsibility, really. You've been a bystander. Then I understand these kinds of conversations are very difficult about planning your future. That said, if you have some financial resources and you're just getting the raw end or the bad end of the deal with interest rates, there are things you can do. Do not give up. And do not accept the fact that you must put all your money into the market or something like that to survive, that you've got to accept this nasty risk alternative. Talk to an independent advisor and get some help today. Thanks for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.